86 degrees in Kalamazoo, 590 WKZO. It is 4:08, time for hour number two of the Jeremy Lawrence Show. Glad that you could be with us. This portion of the program brought to you by Weatherstone Village. Check out their local award-winning 55 and over community at their open house every Saturday from 10 until 2. Now, if you're just joining us, this last hour we chatted a little bit about health care costs for the state of Michigan for 2015. Now, as you can imagine, health insurance is going to cost more. I mean, it stands to reason that things are going to cost more as you go from one year to the next. Just is. That's kind of the way things work. That said, looking at the numbers for the state of Michigan, Blue Care Network and Blue Cross and Blue Shield want to be able to raise their rates by an average of 9.3% or 9.7% in 2015. Humana, 18% rate increase. Time Insurance and Total Healthcare USA, 7.9% and 8.6% hike, somewhere in between there. This is what we're dealing with. And they're saying, you know what, we've got a big influx of people who don't know what their claims conditions are. Actuaries are concerned about that risk mix. I can understand that, certainly. And, you know, for a lot of people that are listening to these numbers going, all right, some of these are for-profit companies, and they want how much? And you start looking and saying, well, how dare they do that? They're sitting there making money off of this, as if making money was something evil. To me, it is not a bad thing if you're wanting to make money providing a service to someone. And that's what this is. They're providing a service. It is ensuring that you're going to be in good health, and so what you're paying for, you might get, you might not get. To me, there is a different problem if health insurers are going, yep, it's going to cost us that much more next year. There is an underlying problem that has not been fixed. I mean, you know, we go back to 2010 when Obamacare was enacted and it was passed against our will, shoved down our collective throats, and then we're told it's a done deal, it's law, that's it. Got to deal with it. It's the way it is. But here's the thing. We've had how long to make things better? How long to make things work better than what they've done? And instead, they seem to be working the other direction. They're not working so good now.
Going the wrong way.
So when you see numbers like that, I mean, this is not national numbers. These are Michigan numbers. These are numbers that are likely going to affect you. And even if you're not with Blue Cross or Humana or one of the, you know what? You're going to be with a company that competes with them. They're going to keep pace. They're going to keep pace. It's going to be similar because they're dealing with the same kind of risk assessment that every other company is. That's what we're dealing with. And, you know, there's other options. There are other opportunities to do something. You know, I have heard so many people say, it's with us. It's staying with us. It is never going away. Never is a very long time. Never could end in 2 years. Let's face that. Now, I don't think... Here's the reality of the situation. And I think Chris Christie said it best. Saw this a month or two ago, and somebody asked him the question, you know what? What about Obamacare? We're going to be able to do something different. What are we going to need to do? And he says, well, you're going to need to get a new president. That's what you're going to need to do. And I think he's largely right about that. Now, he's not necessarily saying himself either. He's just saying, you know what? You've got somebody like, I mean, Obama's name is on it, basically, and he's accepted that name as what it can be called in the debates. You remember, somebody called it Obamacare. No, that's okay. That's okay. Call it that. That's fine. He wants his name on it. Even if it is an abject failure, He is not going to admit that and say, all right, we'll repeal it. We'll get it out of here. He's not going to do that. We know that. But at the same time, we need to start looking at this and saying, all right, what about this does not work? What could we do differently? What ideas? And no idea is off the table. That's the thing. That's the difference when they passed this thing. Basically, they were like, well, no idea is off the table unless it came from Republicans. Because that's basically what happened. And that's what needs to take place in this. Because if you are really, if you're trying to insure people and you're trying to make sure the uninsured are going to get insurance, they're going to be covered, they're going to be this, that, and the other, doing it at that rate, basically a rate that says, and this is estimates based on what the actual insurance companies believe people are paying. The estimates are that 3.4 million of the people that signed up are formerly uninsured that have actually paid. There are 38 million uninsured. That's not good results. It really isn't, particularly if you're saying you got to do it. You have to do it. I'd like to get your interaction on this as well. So if you want to be a part of the program, 382-4280 is the local number. If you are outside the local area, never fear. We have a toll-free number for you, 877-382-4280. Also, you can text us if you like. 80373 is the number for texting. And you just text us. We'll share some of the appropriate ones, some of the inappropriate ones. We will elbow each other and snicker a lot and share them with one another. But so try to be appropriate on that if you can, definitely. I want to go to the phones right now where we will chat with Doug. Hi, Doug. How you doing?
Hey, Jeremy.
Enjoying your Friday?
I am. Beautiful
good.
Day.
Good, good, good. You know, they don't let me out, so I don't know. So, what can
I do? Warm. Well, a couple comments.
Yes.
You're right on about what the Republicans, you know, they shot everything down. They always say the Republicans had nothing good to, you know, no alternatives. Well, they've been putting alternatives up that make common sense. Maybe that's what the problem is, that it's common sense that
that's
Washington
that's,
needs.
That's just you know? It. I mean, when has the government made common sense? Come on.
Well, not recently.
Well, across state lines. That was a no-brainer. If you'd open it up across state lines, that open up more competition and so forth.
Mm-hmm.
But the thing I believe he's really aiming for is to have the insurance companies fail so they can have just one insurance through the government.
Well, I think that's the ultimate goal. As I've looked at it and looked over, you know, and I will admit I have not read all 2,000 pages of this thing. I really do not want to age myself and put myself to sleep that way. I have a life, you know.
Right.
But the studying that I've done, looking at various sources on this, both for and against the act, the only thing that I can come up with is eventually it's going to get cost prohibitive for insurance companies to be able to offer insurance and for people to actually buy it. It ends up doing the opposite of what they were trying to do, which will leave people going, come on, we need a solution here. And, you know, the perfect time to go, okay, single-payer system then.
Yeah, it's going to help out the country, too, to down a whole industry like that. And how many more people are going to be unemployed?
Well, and that's the thing. I mean, you know, people talk about, and Doug, I'm sure you've heard it, too. When, you know, when you hear these things, you hear these numbers like, oh, yeah, it's going to go up basically just a tad under 10%. And people are going, oh, these healthcare companies are making such a profit. Well, not really. They're really not. You want them to make a little money. I mean, that's why they're in business, is to make a little money. But, you know, they're really not. If they're having to run them up that much, it's not because the CEO needs a new yacht. It's because they're taking a risk putting that insurance out there. And sometimes they lose. Sometimes they got to pay more.
Right. Well, you can see it with Blue Cross and Blue Shield. You know how much the hospital charges and what Blue Cross pays. They only pay them probably a half or whatever the bill is.
Oh, yeah.
I don't understand why they can't figure out, well, if that's what the hospitals can survive on. well, work it out somewhere.
Absolutely. And you know, and I think the thing, because I've dealt with you know, different health care bills over the years and things like that, it's the whole idea of negotiation. You know, we can do that when we buy cars. We're all used to that. But negotiating with a doctor, nobody does that. And maybe we ought to.
Exactly. Well, hey, I appreciate it.
All right. Thanks for your call. Appreciate it.
Yep, bye.
382-4280, 877-382-4280 if you'd like to be a part of it. 803-73 if you'd like to comment as well via text. If you just don't have time, or you know what, you're really just embarrassed by the sound of your own voice, that's okay. You can do it by text. We'd love to hear from you there. You know, I think there is the difference with this. We were sold that this is going to make life better. And how many stories did we hear of where people were getting less coverage for more money? And the other part about this, you know, the whole subsidies, the idea of, well, it's going to offer a subsidy. Well, the subsidies have to be paid for by someone. They're paid for by the government. But guess what? Where does the government get its money? It gets it from you and me. So guess what? We're paying ourselves the subsidy. We're actually paying for the whole thing anyway. We're just doing it through our taxes. You know, they said that it was going to save money. It really is not. It really, I mean, it's just not panning out that way. 382-4280-877. 382-4280. Back to the phones we go. Tyrone is on the line. Welcome.
Hello. How you doing today, sir?
Doing well.
That's good. I used to work construction, and during the construction seminars, we took insurance seminars, and we found out that no one overlooks the insurance commission in the state of Michigan. So it works both ways. If the guy who runs the insurance commission has 15 male lovers and he decided that he wanted to buy them all a new car, he could very easily do it just by raising up the rate. Everybody says that the insurance company might not have enough to cover it, but nobody, I mean, everybody's not going to get in trouble at the same time, and they steady getting the premium, so they really don't have an excuse for the way that they're attacking the people. It's just greed. They've seen the officials get away with it, and so now they want to get away with it. It's just contagious. But I really do think, now this is just my opinion, but I really do feel that if the government at a flat rate across the board, that would stop all the thieves. And that's basically why the Republicans do not want the government involved, because it's going to take the money out of their pocket, and the people will finally have something for themselves. My name is Tyrone. That's my comment. Thank you, sir.
Tyrone, thanks for your call. Appreciate it. I think the thing, though, that and I can't agree with that, the idea that, well, the government just needs to set a rate. If you put yourself in the shoes of a business owner, you're selling something, and you have the government come along and say, you're going to charge this for that item. That's not something that you're going to enjoy, because you know what it takes to be able to put that item out there, whatever it is, whether you're selling insurance, a car, vegetables, whatever it is you sell. You don't want somebody else coming along from the outside and saying, no, you're going to charge this.
Yeah, because it could cost more to bring in that item, so you could end up just losing money out on it the other end.
And that's the thing. If you end up, if you're a company where you're told this is your percentage, this is what you're going to do, this is the price, and it's a price that is not going to cover your expenses, what you're going to end up doing is folding your company.
Mm-hmm.
Because at that point, you don't have any way of raising the price. The only other way to get money is if you have some other product that you can sell for greater than what it really is worth to offset that. Some of these, particularly, I mean, health insurance, you're not going to be able to do that. A lot of these companies, that's what they do, is health insurance. I don't know that it's about greed. It comes down to, what are the risk assessors telling us? What are they, and what has past experience shown us? And with these companies, I mean, it's not just like it's Fred's insurance where Fred's pocketing your premium and not paying for anything. You know, and it's not that, you know, they want to buy cars for people or do this, that, or the other. I don't see that. I mean, their books are out there. There are shareholders that demand things are done on the up and up for a lot of these companies. And if that's the case, there's oversight there.
Mm-hmm.
There is oversight that says, yeah, we need to do it this way, we need to do it this way. And so when I hear these numbers, when I hear risk assessment has gone on and they've looked at it and said, look, it's this is what we need right here to be able to maintain business at the level it is, this is what we need. And for many people, say, well, what about the, you know, the, you just make the profit margin smaller. Well, no, you really couldn't. Break it down and put it, I mean, put yourself in the shoes of a business person saying, you know what? Yeah, I can make my profit margin smaller. Are you going to do that?
No, most likely not.
I mean, most businesses are going to, well, no, I'm not doing that. I'm going to make my profit margin smaller. Either I'm going to have to raise rates or I'm going to have to cut things or I'm just going to have to close up shop. That's why, I mean, you know, I hear you on that kind of stuff, and it's easy to believe that kind of stuff. I just don't see it as the truth. And I don't see, if this is not, if Republicans were all about pocketing money based on health care, do you think they would have been on board with Obamacare? You know who was on board with Obamacare? It was a lot of health insurance companies. That should tell you something right there. So I think it's time for something different. That's what we need to do. We need to do something common sense, different, lots of different ideas. We had a caller previously that talked about crossing state lines, being able to buy health insurance from anybody in any state. There you go, right there. That would help. More competition. Think about the amount of competition you've got at that point, because you could buy health insurance now from somebody doing business in Hawaii or Florida or Massachusetts instead of, well, right here within the bounds of little old Michigan.
You'd have a lot of companies that you could choose from.
You could have competition and you could have things be a little better. That's one idea, but there are other ideas that need to be done. We need to talk about, you know, some of the, you know, litigation reform and things like that. These are things that are going to take care of costs. Not this whole idea of, well, let's make it more available. Available's nice, but it's costing us more money. We continue ahead with the Jeremy Lawrence Show, 590 WKZO. If you want to be a part of it, 382-4280 or 877-382-4280. Or you know what? Text us as well. 803-73. You can be part of things as well as we continue ahead. Six degrees in Kalamazoo. And Carrie Schwindenhammer's AccuWeather forecast brought to you by Bronson. Bronson Positivity is the positive momentum driven by a constant pursuit of excellence. Learn more at bronsonhealth.com/quality. Jeremy Lawrence here with you. Been talking about healthcare costs, Obamacare, and that kind of thing. And people have been joining us on the phone and via text and that kind of thing. And we head back to the phones right now where we can chat with Jim standing by in Galesburg. Hi, Jim. Happy Friday.
Oh, thank you. It was until we heard about the premium increases.
Yeah, I hate to be the bearer of bad news. I really do.
My question is that just for state of Michigan, the increases are?
Those are the numbers for Michigan, yes.
Yeah, well, who approves this? The insurance administrator for Michigan?
I think it's insurance regulators for the state. Not sure if that's one person or a group of people, but yes.
Well, they need to be fired because my long-term care went up 80% insurance premium this year.
Wow.
Right. And I called them. They said, oh, well, it's okay. my question is on the Obamacare, if it was so great, why did they exempt the Congress and many other people?
You know, these are good questions. A lot of people have been asking those questions. Jim, I got to run. I'm on top of the break, but thanks for bringing that information to us.
You're welcome.
87 degrees at Kalamazoo, 590 WKZO, the Jeremy Lawrence Show. It is 438. Trying to wrap up for you this Friday, get you into a weekend. It is a Hawaiian shirt Friday. Hopefully you're wearing yours. We are. Yours is very colorful.
Yes, it is.
Well, not really. It's really tropical. It's
got some blue and some brown in it and some, I'd say, beige.
Yeah, you know, I have to admit, mine's a bit more classy. You've got the black shirt with the palm trees on it. You know?
Mine's got trees all over it.
Yeah, you probably are a bit more tree-laden than me. But, you know what? We do this because, let's face it, the world would be a much better place on Fridays if everyone wore Hawaiian shirts.
We'd be all in a happy mood.
Can you picture somebody like the president running around with a Hawaiian shirt on? You know? That would be the day to go before the country. Hey, how you doing?
Everybody be like, who's this guy?
You know, I mean, you could just picture him, the Hawaiian shirt and the whole bit and tropical drink in his hand, ready to go. All right, you know what? I wanted to talk about the budget. Hold on a minute. Let me take a drink here.
Wearing the flowers, too.
Why not? You know, I think it's one of those worthwhile things, you know. And let's face it. Hawaiian shirts are fun. They never go out of style. They're so badly out of style, they're in style. That's the beauty of it.
And they'll always be in style.
They always will be, definitely. Well, you know what? Earlier in the week, I had given Mark Schauer a little bit of trouble. I had. Because he was standing in front of a road saying, basically, we got bad roads and we need to fix them. And if you look on his website, that's basically what it says. Yeah, we got bad roads, and he believes in fixing them. So, imagine my surprise. Now, this has nothing to do with roads. As far as I know, he still doesn't have a plan for that. But apparently, he's come up with a plan in regards to charter schools. You know, and this has been in the news the last several days. They've talked about charter schools and overseeing them and making sure that they're of high quality and that kind of thing. Well, Mark Schauer came up with a plan that he said he'd like to see changes made to charter school systems and things like that. First of all, he says that he does not believe it should be a for-profit venture. Doesn't believe that it should be for-profit, says we should be pouring every dollar we can into the classroom. Now, here's the basics of the plan. We'll go over the points, and then we could talk a little bit about it, because I think since he has decided to sit down and come up with a plan, that we should at least look through it and see, all right, is there anything here that we can pull from it and say, yeah, all right, yeah, maybe we could do that. Here's what he wants. Removal of the profit motive from charter schools. Said 80% of Michigan's charters are run by for-profit management companies, the nation's highest percentage. Wants to remove profit. All right. Charter school board members given the same authority as elected school board members at traditional public schools as it relates to school performance and finances. Charter school contracts available online and making management companies subject to Freedom of Information Act. A one-stop shop website to compare spending, educational philosophy, and performance measures of all schools. Public education dollars banned from going to advertising. Institutions losing the ability to issue new charters if more than 10% of those charters are failing to meet adequate performance measures. And requiring all charter employees to participate in the Michigan Public School Employees Retirement System. Oh, boy. All right. So, looking over this particular list, and I'm going to say that there are some ideas here that are at least worth looking at. First of all, the idea that institutions should lose the ability to issue new charters if they've got 10% of the charters failing to meet performance measures. All right. I'm willing to chat about that. I'm willing to say, all right, well, let's look at that. The big question you have there is, what kind of performance measures are we talking about? Are we talking about, you know, basic, you know, test scores and things like that? What are we referring to here? What kind of standards are we talking about? I think it's worth exploring that. It might be worth exploring having some sort of a website that has all of this stuff side by side. But I would say this. All schools, every one of them, including public schools. Let's put them on there as well, because regular public schools, you know what? As a parent, you need to have tools to be able to say, all right, here's what we want to do. Here's how we want to do this. Now, here's the thing. He talks about removal of the profit motive from charter schools. I don't like that. Because I think if you're getting results done and you've managed to make money off of it, good for you. Fantastic. I absolutely don't have a problem with making a profit off of that if you're doing the job well. The idea of charter school board members having the same authority as elected school board members, they do generally. By and large, they do. Here's another thing that I think is an interesting thought. I don't know that it's anything you really want to do this, because let's break this one down, all right? Charter school contracts available online. Okay, I don't mind that one, but I want to see public schools, every school, have their contracts online and available for people to look at. Every contract. And I'm even talking about contracts with the unions to find out, all right, what is it the teachers have asked for? What is it, you know? I would like to see all of that. I would like to see that sort of stuff for every school. So if you're going to do it, let's do it for everybody. Right now, I don't think that's the case for anybody. Second part of that, making management companies subject to the Freedom of Information Act. I'm not wild about that. Some of these management companies are private entities. You are stretching to say that a private entity needs to share information with the public the same as the government would. I don't like that. It sets a bad precedent. Because basically, what would happen at that point? You'd start to have private companies. Well, yep, Freedom of Information Act, come on. You got to feed us the information. Give us this information we need. And you could get information from anybody at that point. Anybody. I don't like that. Slippery slope, don't like that particular one. Public education dollars banned from going to advertising. Don't like that. If you're running a charter school, you should be able to advertise if you choose to do so. Particularly if you're getting results. I don't have a problem with that. The whole idea of requiring charter employees to participate in the public school employees retirement system, no, no, no. I do not agree with that. I think that's something, if you got a private company that is running this school, they should be able to do what they want in that way, particularly because, you know what, that sort of thing, they might be able to find something better than the public school employee retirement system. I think it's out there, believe me. There was another thing that the governor brought up a few days ago, and in response to what Mark Schauer had said, he repeated his ideas. He's open to talking about increased accountability and metrics for all schools, traditional public schools and charter schools. That I agree with. Let's make sure that kind of accountability is there. That's I commend Mark Schauer for wanting to have a conversation about this. I can't agree with a lot of his ideas. I think there might be at least a little something in there, but I don't think that's the direction you need to take it. What do you think? 382-4280 is the local phone number. Toll free, it's 877-382-4280. And 80373 is the number for texting. So you could be a part of the program as well. We would love to have you be a part of things as we move forward here. Let's head to the phones right now and chat with Roger, standing by. Hi, Roger. Welcome to the program.
Hey, Jeremy. You know, that's an interesting discussion that Mark Schauer brings up. And I have a real problem with anything that delves into the premise that we're going to basically control all the schools. We've already seen what happens when you have public schools being controlled by, quote, a union, mm-hmm. and the government. When you're talking, about a standard, and the first thing that pops into my mind is Common Core. Mm-hmm. And, you know, we have states all over the country that are basically opting out of Common Core.
Indiana is. I think Louisiana is trying to anyway. I've heard of just at least those two, but there are more.
Oh, yeah. And the thing of it is if you look at the standards, it's ridiculous. Now, what's interesting is back, if you go back to when I graduated, and I'm a little bit older than you are. I graduated in 75
okay.
from high school. The Department of Education got started in 1974, so basically it really had no effect on me when I graduated.
Mm-hmm.
And I graduated, my class was about 450 students. And so I'm part of the class reunion committee, and what's interesting is that there's a lot of these classmates that are professionals, they own their own businesses, they're very successful overall. And it's interesting that the Department of Education didn't have anything to do with it. It was really local controlled.
Mm-hmm.
School board determined what was going to be, what the curriculum was. And it worked out very well. The thing that I have with this initiative that Shower's using is that, you know, he's got this all pie in the sky, and he ends up talking to people's emotions like, okay, that's a really good idea. We really should be doing this. But what it really comes down to is he's looking at it in a way to do government control.
Mm-hmm.
And quite honestly, anytime the government gets involved in anything, especially the federal government, but Big Brother looking at it at overall, the costs go up, the results go down, and it just doesn't work out very well. So I think that if he wants to start a website that basically scores public and private schools, great, knock yourself out.
Absolutely.
But to have the government and basically it'll end up getting, you know, twisted around where somebody's going to be controlling it, it's just not going to work out. And I think that we should just keep our hands off.
Okay.
And, you know, again, it comes down to no plans, Howard.
Yeah, well, yeah, and I got to say on this, I have to applaud him for at least attempting a plan. I can't say I agree with it, but he's trying. So, you know, it's nice to see him doing that anyway.
Well, the thing is, I really hope that the public would look at the root of what he's looking to do.
Mm-hmm. Well, I think the root can be found in simply that he says he wants to remove the profit motive from charter schools. I don't have a problem with that. If they're going to get results, if they make money off of it, knock yourself out. That's great. Doesn't bother me. It's the whole thing of, and I think you're definitely, you got an interesting point to say that, yeah, I mean, some of this has to do with the idea that, well, you know what, the government's got it together, we got our schools together, they're all working, and these aren't over here. That is just not the case.
That's right, and the problem is that, you know, we don't look at what has worked historically.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that's one of the things that we need to go back to is looking at, you know, what works, what doesn't, and coming up with a plan. But really, you know, when people control their own money and they control the education for the most part of their children, then they're better off. If you're looking at having a successful citizenry, then that's one of the things that we have to do is we have to look at, okay, what do we need?
Mm-hmm.
And let the local governments, let the local school districts, and let the people determine what's in the best interest of the students, because that's the only thing that's going to work. I mean, if we have a centralized government, and what's interesting is I had to go to Lansing this morning, and I'm listening to NPR on the radio, and they were talking about going to Cuba.
Mm-hmm.
And they were talking about, you know, everything is so wonderful in Cuba, and they have a central government-controlled healthcare system. And then almost in the same breath, they were talking about the income of the people in Cuba. Do you know that the average income in Cuba is $200 a person, yet they have everything controlled by the government?
Mm-hmm.
Is that what we really want to go to?
I'm not going to volunteer for that one. I don't know about you.
Not me.
Yeah. Roger, I appreciate your phone call today. Thanks for your time.
All right, you're welcome.
All right, and we continue ahead talking with you about this. What do you think about Mark Shower's plan? He actually came up with one. Got to applaud him on that. But what do you think about it? We're going to talk about it with the time we've got left. 877-382-4280, 877-382-4280, as we continue ahead on the Jeremy Lawrence Show right here on 590 WKZO. -88 degrees in Kalamazoo. It's 590 WKZO and the Jeremy Lawrence Show, at least for the next 5 minutes or so. Kalamazoo's afternoon news coming up. We'll keep you in the know on what happened throughout the day. So definitely stick around for that so you can be in the know when you head home and say, you know what? I heard it all. I'm ready to tell you about it. There you go. You could be the one that's, that know-it-all, I guess. Well, first of all, I've got to say this. Mark Schauer came up with a plan. Woo! Yeah! Finally. Didn't say it worked, but he's got one. So, you know, I got to give him props that at the very least, when it comes to this charter school thing, he decided, you know, well, let's sit down, let's come up with some ideas. This is what I'd do if I was governor. Now, I don't think many of the ideas will actually work. And I think what I said just a few minutes ago was this, and I honestly believe this. He approaches it almost as if to say that, you know what? The government's got it together on public schools. And we've got, I mean, public schools are really great. And, you know, we're doing an awful lot of good work. And, you know, these charter schools, well, you know, that's it. So, you know, we need to make sure that they're doing better. Accountability for them. You know what? I say accountability for all because guess what? There are schools out there, public schools, and you know it. You know what I'm talking about. They're not doing so hot. They're not doing well, and we need to be concerned about it. That's where we need to be able to say, you know what? We have got to have something. Something that works a little better. A plan for accountability for all schools. That's fine. And I think, you know, that whole idea of the one-stop shop website, Mark Schauer, I'll tell you what, if you're listening and that kind of thing, that one-stop shop website, it's a great idea. Why don't you go ahead right now? And I'm not talking on your for governor website. That's fine. You know what? Open up a website. Go into business. Rate the schools based on this, that, or the other. Put the information in front of people and you can charge a fee for it. You can have people advertise on the site, whatever. Make money with it, please. You'll have a ton of traffic from people going, yeah, what are the schools like? It's a terrific idea, but I think it's a terrific idea for a private business, not necessarily for a government entity to be able to do. And I think the standards, we need to have clear what the standards are. What are the standards that we want schools to live up to? Are we talking about standardized testing as it is right now? It's something that not a lot of people agree that is a great idea. So what is it? Are we talking graduation rates? Are we talking about number of people that get jobs down the line? What kind of measurable are we looking at to be able to say schools are doing well? I think that's another key thing in here to be able to say, all right, what is that measurable? To be able to say, all right, they're doing well. Not only to say, all right, you can do more charters, but to be able to say, all right, this school is doing what it needs to do. I think that, and Roger called a few minutes ago, and I think he was right on the money with this. You know, you've got federal control of, you know, the Department of Education, the whole bit. You've got federal dollars that are trickling down, and that's the whole idea of going, all right, you get this money, but you have to live up to this, 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 this. Oh, and this. How about we get control back in the hands of school boards, local areas, regions? I'm not even talking the state at this because who in Lansing knows what's best for our students here? We know what's best for our students, so maybe we ought to have that kind of control here. To be able to make the schools better. That is something I could get behind and support. Let's go going to do it for the show for today and for the week as well. Have yourself a great weekend. You know what? We'll try and get together again on Monday at around 3 o'clock and do it all over again. I'll do my best to make it here. You do the same. Till then, see ya.
Kalamazoo's news, weather, and traffic station is 590 WKZO. Kalamazoo.